At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You know what powers every dream?
Tell me. Don't leave me hanging, man.
Payroll.
Yes.
Yeah. From your first paycheck to lifelong security, none of it happens without someone making sure you actually get paid. Wild, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, we like pay. Pay's good.
Yeah. Behind every payday, there's a professional who makes it happen. A real person, not some magical ATM fairy flinging 20s around. This September 15th to 19th, it's National Payroll Week, and the National Payroll Institute wants your stories. Maybe it's your first summer job, your maternity leave, or that glorious moment you got paid on time and didn't have to survive on instant noodles. Post your story with hashtag PowerPayroll and hashtag contest. Contest, that's the word. It's a hashtag contest, not contest. They're not going to be looking for that, so I'll type that out. Hashtag contest. Tag National Payroll Institute, and you could win a $250 prepaid credit card. Plus, for every post with those hashtags, National Payroll Institute donates $1 to Food Banks Canada, up to $25,000, which is a lot of bucks.
Yeah.
Payroll powers more than just paychecks, of course. It keeps the lights on, literally, including the one over my head right now. As I told you before, there's about four of them.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know, actually, we should start the show probably better than that, better idea.
Welcome to Politics is Broken with Brittle Starr and Lisa B. Canadian and global politics unspun. Are you sitting comfortably? Good. Then we'll begin.
Welcome to Politics is Broken. My name is Brittle Starr.
My name is Lisa.
Did you notice, Lisa, do you ever watch CTV News Channel at all?
Sometimes, if I'm flipping. Did I notice?
You're flipping.
Yeah.
Yeah. The National Payroll people, I did an ad for them last year, it was on TV, and they're running it again this year. So I'm all over.
You're news everywhere.
I'm everywhere. Literally, I think I'm in four locations in the one ad I've seen so far.
Awesome. Are we going to get to hear like who wins and what their story was?
I would hope so.
Because now I'm like and really I think, curious.
I know. And I have seen people have been entering. They've been posting underneath the video on Facebook and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically with their own stories, and they're great. They're really good entries.
Excellent.
So I want to know who wins as well. And I think also legally we have to know.
Oh, okay.
I think so. I think you just can't be doing contests and just be like, yeah, it was, we gave away that money. Yeah, I think it'd be illegal otherwise.
Okay.
I want to start off with some comments we got from their first episode. Because of course, last week was the first episode of Politics is Broken.
Mm-hmm.
And the first episode, since you and I sort of embarked on this journey.
I'm getting a Kleenex just in case.
Are you going to get sad? Are you going to cry?
No.
Oh, my God. Of course, when you do anything sort of new like that and you send it out into the world, you wonder how it's being received. Mm-hmm. And it's being received very well. Lots of comments on Substack and on Spotify, which is great. Victoria says, I enjoyed this new format. Thank you. I like when people thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Victoria.
That's my thing to do when I meet people that make stuff. Mm-hmm. Like if I meet like someone who's a musician I really like, it's like, thank you
mm-hmm.
for what you do.
Yeah.
It's nice to say that. Let's see. Excellent inaugural episode, says Linda M. I'm doing everything I can to support local and Canadian business, I guess like us, if it helps. And I did enjoy this great new format. The name, however, reeks of Polyev. God is my witness. I have to look that up each time I write it.
We're sorry.
Let's see. It took me a bit in the Labor Day weekend to get to this. Change is good. Enough about PP, though, for a while, eh? Maybe you'll become a real source for news. 3 question marks. That's from Bob.
Okay. Thanks, Bob. We'll do what we can.
And what's happening over on Spotify? Jason says, this is what I needed. I'm glad you guys are continuing with this. Great job. Tallycat. I like Tallycat. Mm-hmm. That's a good name.
I like that name.
So glad you two are continuing on. And best of luck to Boots as he returns to his teaching career. There you go.
Any bad comments?
Yes, there's one fantastic bad comment from 4 days ago from Pat H., if you want to look up his home address. And Matt H. said...
Oh, no. No.
This is I hadn't seen this one yet. This is so good. This comment is great. I'm not soliciting more of them. All right, let's see. It says, no desire to listen to Lisa do a podcast with Doug Ford. I can see why Boots left.
Oh.
How did you get off so easy with that?
I don't know, man. I was expecting that I was going to get slaughtered, but that was...
No, you didn't get it at all. No? I took it right in the neck. I took it right in the slick back hair.
You going to pour out a bottle of Crown? Is that what you're going to do?
Pour out a bottle of CR later on. Directly into my mouth.
And cry yourself to sleep.
Cry myself to sleep. I've got to get a good review from Pat,
right?
H. Again, if you're looking at Pat's address, Pat H is the name you're looking for. Ever wonder why politics feels less like a chess match and more like a group of toddlers fighting over a Lego set? I like this. I've got a built-in audience. It's good. Well, Canada just invited a man who wrote the rulebook for dismantling government and then acted surprised when he didn't show up. Meanwhile, across the border, a Department of Justice official in the U.S. went on a Hinge date and ended up giving the world's most embarrassing TED Talk on Epstein files. Oh, God. So today we're asking, why are we listening to these people? Why do they keep backing out? And is Mark Carney just discovering what it's like to deal with, well, idiots? So it sounds absurd, but of course, as many people know now, Mark Carney and the Liberals invited Kevin Roberts, the man behind Project 2025, to a cabinet meeting. The PMO said it was because Roberts, quote, knows the Trump playbook, which is a bit like inviting the Hamburglar to your kitchen because he knows hamburgers. Project 2025, in case you missed it, is a 900-page blueprint for turning America into a Hobby Lobby with nukes. I like that one. Abolish the Department of Education, purge the civil service, declare married men and women the only valid family structure. It's not so much a policy platform as it is a Facebook uncle's fever dream. And yet, liberals wanted to hear from him. Why? Because Carney's trying to prep his team for Trump 2.0. And apparently, the best way to do that is to study the people who think firing thousands of bureaucrats is a fun weekend project. So,
just a size, heavy size. That,
oh my God. So the Liberal cabinet meeting was happening and they initially invited Kevin Roberts up, who is the guy who wrote Project 2025, to come talk to them. It was done under the auspices of, as it says, as I said there, to kind of get some advice from someone who knows the Trump playbook. What's our, like, what?
What?
Immediately to me, I'm thinking, nah, this is a dumb idea. Yeah. This is not a good idea. And of course, Roberts ended up backing out. There's lots of negative backlash online. He backed out and said he was going to be busy in Washington instead.
Okay.
No doubt.
Oh, yeah. Please. Well,
jump in.
You know what? I was looking at the Project 2025 tracker. They have a tracker on. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
They have
like a Domino's pizza tracker. Except
yeah. Except
democracy.
Way worse.
Fascism. Fascism.
Yeah. And so they have like a bunch of their stuff and it says, you know, some of the things that they've completed. And I'm looking at one like promote fertility awareness based methods as opposed to contraception for family planning completed. Reduce federal incentives for states to expand Medicaid coverage. Completed. What else? Increase ICE funding for 100,000 detention beds. Completed. Like, this is bad news bears, okay? This Project 2025.
I agree.
And so, yeah, it's a 900-page manifesto. Apparently, this group that created this, like, they've had their mitts in politics for a really long time. And I think it's been like a slow and steady increase on this like Christo-fascist ideology, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you kind of look at the players like, you know, Bush Jr. and stuff, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure they would just kind of go along. I don't know for a fact, but I'm going to say this group has a lot of money mm-hmm. and a lot of, you know, really highfalutin influential people that back it. But this actual Project 2025 came out in 2023 in anticipation, I think, of Trump running and taken things over. It's terrifying. And I don't understand why we are inviting the guy who helped author this as a means of trying to get a better idea of the Trump administration. Like, look at the tracker. We know what the Trump administration is doing.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling to me. And I mean, I think if I tried it really hard to give the benefit of the doubt, I'll say, okay, I think maybe the thinking was, this guy's on the inside. If we get him down, he's going to tell us about how things are on the inside. And from there, we can make some educated moves and decisions. I think that is kind of crazy when you realize that this guy wrote Project 2025. He's the president of the Heritage Foundation, which was started in the 80s, as you mentioned, a long time ago. And its four main principles are: one, restore the family as a centerpiece of American life; two, dismantle the administrative state; three, defend national sovereignty and borders; and four, secure, quote, God-given individual rights to liberty. It's so I understand the notion of, like, in the old days of diplomacy, I think you would invite someone over from the U.S. or the other country and say, come on over, we want to talk this over, and we want to get some insight into why you are doing the things you're doing and how we can work within that in a beneficial way for both parties. Sure. This is what boggles my mind, though, and I think the only thing I could think of that makes sense is that I'm sure the invitation came from the PMO.
Mm-hmm.
It's not some sort of backbencher in the Liberals who said, let's invite Kevin Roberts down.
Would you like to come over?
Would you want to come over? It'd be really cool. I think it was from the PMO. The only thing I can give any logic to is that the PMO have never dealt with people this dumb and or evil.
Right? Just dangerous. Just
outright cartoon, Looney Tunes level, Wile E. Coyote with a bad origin story, evil.
Yeah.
And I don't, that's the only thing that kept me entertained about this, thinking about this the other day, as we were going to talk about it, was the fact that it's like, I don't think Carney's ever dealt with idiots. I think Carney's, he's had meetings with tons of people before, lots of important people, lots of influential people, lots of very, very smart people. Mm-hmm. Whereas unlike the rest of us in the peanut gallery, mm-hmm. who have to deal with idiots every single day, I think we've got way more experience with dealing with it. I think it's easy for us to look at the Kevin Roberts guy in Heritage Foundation and Project 25 and go, these guys are goofwads.
Well, it's fair. Yeah. I'm sure he's dealt with, you know, very high level people. I'm sure he's dealt with idiots, right? I mean, in his travels, I'm sure there've been some wackadoos that he's had to deal with, but I just don't understand. Like, on the surface, this guy is still part of this project. This isn't some disgruntled dude that's going to come and spill secrets that we didn't know about. So again, is there not someone that can read Project 2025 and give like a synopsis to the PMO? Yeah. Like, I don't understand why we would extend this invitation. And furthermore, why we thought that this guy would come on over when we're still viewed as the enemy to the US at this point. So I would love to know the conversation. Like, was it an email? Did you pick up the phone and dial 1-800-FASCISM and get this guy on the phone? Like, I don't know how this transaction happened.
Does that work out?
I don't know. I'm hoping.
I'm missing some numbers. It does.
Does it?
Yes. Yeah, 1-800-FASCISM.
Oh my God. I'm going to have to get that number done.
Can we get that number? That'd be great, wouldn't it? If people could just call that number and they just hear this episode.
Oh my God.
Because of course, as I said, Roberts' office said that he appreciated the invitation, end quote, but would be working in Washington instead. And
he's washing his hair. He couldn't make the date.
It is the equivalent of saying, I'm washing my hair.
God, how embarrassing for us.
I mean, so possibilities of why he canceled. Because I think there's also a reasoning. I would think there's more reason for that guy to come here to talk to the government, to talk to cabinet, than there is for us to ask him here. Do you know what I mean? He's got more to gain.
Sure.
I think. You know, he bailed and officially appreciated the invitation, but working in Washington, which is, as you said, the political equivalent of, sorry, I'm washing my hair. So why did he cancel? Possibilities would include he didn't want to be the American conservative who gave free consulting to Canadian liberals.
Mm-hmm.
Fair.
Mm-hmm.
He realized Canadians might not be receptive to his, quote, abolish education ideas.
We like education here.
Yeah. Or most likely, he just prefers to only speak in rooms where everyone already agrees with him. It's mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't understand. I think if people, we were talking, Shannon and I were talking about this morning, about how, and we had mentioned when Carney was elected, that Carney was absolutely the right man for the right time.
Mm-hmm.
At that time. He was the guy to do it. And I remember at the time saying, I think it's going to be short-lived, though. I think people are going to get tired of him quickly. And he's walking a dangerous line here, I think. This is a bonehead move, I think.
I don't want to give benefit of the doubt that there was some other ulterior, sly motive for this. Like, did they think by inviting him and pumping his tires that he was going to spill something that we didn't know, right?
Yeah.
Was this to, like, were we trying to make him feel like, come tell us about your ways so that we may mirror them in hopes of getting information? I don't know if that was, but like that is really not well thought out. I think the problem is that there's so much going on right now. And I think Canadians feel like we're not seeing anything move. A lot of people are feeling like things are actually going back in time. And we keep hearing, oh, you know, it's part of a bigger process. I think we're at a point where we need to know what the process is, or we need to see something like actually resolve itself. And I get it's hard to, I mean, you're dealing with wackadoos, but Mexico's doing it. Why can't we do it?
I think Mexico's doing it by kind of not engaging.
Yeah.
I think Mexico is kind of realizing there's no point in negotiating with the current administration, because the current administration have proven themselves to be crazy and are not that bright.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep thinking that current government, in both the Canadian government and also the Democrats in the U.S., I keep thinking there's the majority of them are still thinking they're playing by the regular playbook.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the regular playbook.
Well, they've changed the playbook. They've shredded the playbook. They've abandoned it
yeah, entirely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I think other countries that are dealing with the U.S., we got to be smarter. Like, we have to be one step ahead of them.
Yeah.
Or we need to just disengage, right? Like, and I know that's very difficult for Canada. We have such a intertwined relationship with the U.S. But at some point, we need to flex our independence, and we need to make it clear where we stand and not, I know negotiations is a, you know, one step forward, two step back kind of thing. But I think Canadians are feeling like we're taking a lot of steps back. Maybe there's a bigger plan. I don't put all my trust in government, definitely, but we're not seeing that plan come to fruition. And then you've got like the Poiliev, who is just, I don't know why I call him the Poiliev, dingbat, who is just taking every opportunity to throw things. And people who may be questioning are kind of like, is he right? Like, we don't know, right?
Well, yeah, this is a big opportunity for Poiliev for sure. I think what's distressing is that, you know, the PMO's spokesperson said, quote, regrettably, Dr. Roberts' office indicated that he can no longer join us to present today. Our team will continue further engagement and discussions with him and other leading U.S. policy figures soon. And I can almost guarantee the majority of Canadians are like, why?
Yeah.
Why? Because this guy doesn't have our best interest at heart. He has no interest in repairing things.
I wonder if the blob told him not to come.
You think Trump maybe said, don't come?
Yeah. That's who I mean when I say the blob. I hate saying
yeah,
his name.
Yeah.
So it's just for everybody listening, that's the blob, the orange blob. That's what I call him.
I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Well, because anytime anybody seems to do anything that he doesn't like, right, then there's this, you know, let's think about what happened between him and Muskrat, right? So, like, I don't know. Maybe he was told, no, don't go giving away our secrets. Like, it's like this espionage thing. I don't know. I just don't understand the purpose of inviting somebody like that. You want policymakers to come to Canada to explain the policies of a government that is trying to dismantle its own country, and by virtue of that is impacting every other country around the world. Why? We know it's happened. Like, it's outlined in this Project 2025 what they're going to do, right? Secure borders, yeah. Do all this stuff. Like, it's plain as day to me. I'm not a politician. It's plain as day to me. So are we looking for rationale? Like, because it doesn't matter what the rationale is. The rationale is going to change per minute at this point with this government. So again, knowing what their plans are, knowing what they've completed as per this tracker, isn't that enough for us to figure out what we need to do moving forward? Like, I don't get it.
I would think so. I mean, to me, it's like, you know, it's like one of the women on Real Housewives shows where she flips over the dining table in the middle of a restaurant, and then you invite her to your dinner party to find out why she did it.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're a liability. You're obviously goofy.
You put out your fine china, hoping it doesn't happen to you.
Hoping it doesn't happen to you. Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Just to give an example of the other cabinet speakers apparently that are coming or have come to the cabinet meeting, former Australian Prime Minister Kevin Rudd, he's going to be talking on China and multipolarity, which sounds, I don't even know what multipolarity is.
Sounds fancy, yeah.
Pollster Jean-Marc Leger, so that's good, yeah, sure. Jean-François Perrault from Scotiabank, Economic Outlook, that's okay, good.
That's
yeah.
good, it's ours.
And yeah. then leaders from AI-focused venture capital firms. I think it's good for them to know about this stuff. This is, you know, it's very good. Roberts, of course, famously said the U.S. is in the midst of a, quote, second American revolution that will remain bloodless, if the left allows it to be.
Sorry.
How's this guy get, like, what are we doing?
That's like saying, don't fight it, just let it happen. Yeah. Right? Like, that's icky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's got, it's not great.
Mm-mm.
It's got certain types of vibes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I know what you mean.
I don't understand, and the only thing again that I can come back to is that the Liberals, the current Canadian government, I think Canadian politicians in general, the vast majority of them still think they're playing a regular game, and the U.S. is not playing that game anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's like playing someone in a game of soccer and the other team suddenly brings bats on the field,
yeah,
on the pitch, and starts clocking the balls.
But why did you bring bats? Tell us the reasons behind you bringing
bats.
Tell
us the reasoning.
Come to our side.
Yeah, exactly. Come to our side. Bring your bats to bludgeon us.
Yeah.
And let's just see how it goes. So, the only thing I can think of is that they think they're still playing the same game, which means that we're not that bright.
Mm.
Or, if I do it to give credit to Mark Carney and the government, and I would like to...
Mm-hmm.
I really suspect that they have just never actually dealt with people in this position of power who are not that intelligent, who are not that bright, who are just so single-minded and not smart.
So when I'm looking at this tracker and when I'm looking at the things that they're, you know, working on, like, we have a mini version of that within our borders that I feel like Mark has had sit downs with the leader of that. And that would be my province of Alberta.
Mm.
Because it's the same sort of thing. It's like, you know, secure our borders, border independence, like all that kind of stuff. And then one of the ones that I just saw, impose Medicaid work requirements. So like in Alberta, obviously, we have people who are on... people with disabilities receive a stipend, I guess, from the government. Okay, that's what we'll call
right.
it.
Right.
And recently, they proposed legislation earlier this year that, okay, yeah, we have that program and that's all fine and good, but we're going to create this other program called ADAP. And basically, ADAP is you got to go work. Like, we don't care if you have a disability, you got to go work. Okay. And it's just a big old mix up of all sorts of stuff. But the point of it is that they are trying to move people from one program to another program to get them off the first program. And it's that kind of stuff, right? It's like, it's very, like, it's scary stuff that they're doing. And I see it reflected in the UCP government and their ideology. Well, I don't think it's been a secret. Like, they're very Republican focused here, right? So,
right.
But like, Carney's met with Danny, has had some sit downs. She's trying to say to us that, oh, no, she believes that we can all work together for a sovereign Alberta within a united Canada, which is basically securing your borders. Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I mean, just as a trivia point as well, let me see if I can find the information here.
Check your notes.
Check my notes. I want to make sure I get the title right. Because, of course, Roberts wrote a book that was had the foreword, I think, was written by J.D. Vance.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's like, this is, it all seems very, very obvious to me. It all seems like, and of course, I think also to their credit, I think that the current administration of the U.S. and current factions in Canadian aspect is a little bit more subversive currently than that, but not very much, not entirely for sure. It's a bit like, it reminds me when I was 15 and my mom and dad went away for a week and I didn't have my license. And they were like, listen, you can stay in the house. Your sister's going to your grandparents, but you can stay in the house by yourself. You check in with your grandparents every day. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, great. Not a problem. And I did check in with them every day by phone. Yep, I'm alive. It's all good. And I took the car out every day. And then we also had girls over. And
who's we?
We also
had, you had girls over.
Well, yeah. Well, me and friends. And then we also had the dog eat at the dining table with us.
Oh, that's good.
Every night,
okay.
At 6:30. Yeah. Yeah, which is totally, it was adorable. We wanted to give him a little bow tie. And we also cooked escargot because we thought it was fancy in high karate cologne. Which is just a blue flame.
This is why, like, boys shouldn't be allowed, yeah, any, exactly, sort of freedom.
I agree. But my point being is that when my parents came back, the night they came back, I thought to myself in my 15-year-old wisdom, which turned out to be right on the spot, I thought the only way I can get out of this is if I tell them point blank in such a manner that it sounds like I'm making it up. So I told them, they said, how was the week? I said, it was great. It was awesome. We took the car out every day. We had girls over. We cooked escargot and high karate cologne. And we had the dog eat at the dining table every night. And mom and dad went, well, I'm glad you're good.
Yeah, glad you're alive. Whew,
whew. All right. Got away with that one. That was good. And it's got a little bit of that, the current situation in the U.S. and the Heritage Foundation Project 2025 and Trump and all that kind of stuff. It's got a little bit of that vibe of, like, especially with Trump, he'll just tell you exactly what he's doing. Mm-hmm. There's no subtext. There's just exactly what's happening.
Right.
And face value. Just take it for face value.
But that is what the 2025 thing is. And just as an aside, so we have the book that Roberts wrote, then we have the foreword by J.D. Vance. Then we do our 6 degrees of separation that, you know, J.D. and Jamil Giovanni are besties.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And so, like, God forbid, not quite, that if Pierre had have become PM, inviting someone like Roberts over, completely different context, right? Like, tell us how to do it. We need to know how, exactly, to do it here, right?
Yeah. It becomes a bit of a question for directions.
Yeah.
More than anything.
Yeah.
The name of the book that Roberts wrote was called Dawn's Early Light, : Taking Back Washington to Save America. And not Dawn's Early Light, : Dawn's Early Light. Taking Back Washington to Save America, which includes a foreword by U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance. But here, listen, it's not all bad news. Okay. And this proves my theory. I think this really proves my theory that Carney just never dealt with people this dumb.
Okay.
And here's where it almost gets funny. On one hand, you've got Roberts, architect of a plan to reshape the U.S. government into his own image. On the other hand, you've got Joseph Schnitt, a DOJ, Department of Justice, official who thought a hinge date was a safe place to chat about the Epstein files. So this fella... I'm going to get to
just
my notes.
Just looking for love.
Just looking for love. Joseph Schnitt, acting deputy chief at the Department of Justice Office of Enforcement Operations. So he's
medium,
not
big
top of the top.
Yeah, but medium big.
But pretty big.
Yeah.
He's in the know. Was secretly recorded while he was on a hinge date with a woman named Skylar, who turned out to be a reporter. And James O'Keefe posted this video online recently. In the video, Schnitt says there are, quote, thousands and thousands of pages of Epstein case files. The files would be released, quote, heavily redacted, end quote, removing Republican/conservative names while leaving Democrat/liberal names. Internal conflict exists within the Trump administration on handling the files, and Attorney General Pam Bondi is a yes person, end quote, to Trump. He's a 23-year Department of Justice veteran, and he's about to serve as deputy chief for a few months. Well, maybe not anymore.
Not anymore. Oopsies.
I mean, you never know,
he's
though.
He's going to the file room, but not the good file room.
Exactly. My favorite thing ever about this whole story, the video is just, I think, again, proves my point that we're not dealing with the brightest and the sharpest here. Because if I'm a DOJ person and I go on a rando date
with a stranger,
I'm not going to bring up, and I know that I'm not going to bring up the biggest, the most likely thing to topple the current administration is this right now. And I'm not going to bring it up. I'm not going to be, you know what? We can talk about anything else.
What's your favorite color? Where did you grow up? Like,
exactly. There's so many things you could talk about. You know, why did you say yes to a date with me?
Yeah,
exactly. All that kind of stuff. But my favorite thing is that the U.S. Department of Justice. Oh, God.
Okay.
On Twitter.
I'm not going to drink my coffee. I feel like I'm going to spit it out. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Posted a statement/apology from Schnitt, okay? That was written in the Notes app, essentially. I think it's an Android phone he's got. So it's written in the Notes app of a phone. They screenshotted it. The whole, it's obviously just sent to someone's phone because it has the time at the top. It has airplane mode. It's got the Wi-Fi bars. And it's got 30% left battery.
Excellent.
It says, Acting Director Pollock. I met a woman named Skylar on Hinge. Oh, God, this is, I'm so glad you're not drinking.
Okay.
I met a woman named Skylar on Hinge, a dating app, in July 2025. Her profile is no longer findable. We had...
Got ghosted.
So you can't blame them.
Right.
Listen, I don't even know if it even happened. He says, we had two dates, August 4th and August 16th. She claimed to be an au pair in Georgetown. She gave no clues that she was a reporter on or recording our dates. Had I had a clue, the first date would have ended immediately, and there never would have been a second one. My profile indicated I did, quote, government work, end quote, but did not specify for which agency. I never discussed what I do at DOJ. The comments I made were my own personal comments on what I've learned in the media and not from anything I've done or learned via work. I have no knowledge of the circumstances surrounding Ms. Maxwell other than what is reported in the news. I also never divulged anything about what I do at work. Kinda. I recall that she asked if I had any knowledge about Maxwell, and I specifically said, I only know what's been reported in the media. So, of course, this contradicts exactly what he's saying from his mouth in the video. But I love the I met a woman named Skylar on Hinge, a dating app in July 25. Her profile is no longer available. Like she's just disappeared and the DOJ has no way of finding her.
I'm going to guess her name wasn't Skylar.
He's going to be shocked that you've said that. What?
Sorry, buddy.
I like how he tried to, it's so damning. So in the video, he says there's files for sure. Yeah, there's thousands and thousands of pages of files. On the redactions, he said they'll redact every Republican or conservative person in those files, leave all the liberal Democratic people in those files, and have a very slanted version of it come out. On the Glenn Maxwell transfer, he said she got transferred to a minimum security prison. She got transferred to a minimum security prison too recently, which is against BOP policy. I don't know what that means. Might be a typo. Because she's a convicted sex offender, she means they're offering her something to keep her mouth, which means they're offering something to keep her mouth shut. The DOJ statement said Joseph Schnitt had no role in the department's internal review of Epstein materials. The comments Mr. Schnitt made were based on what he learned in the media. And he said, the Schnitt himself said, the comments I made were my own personal comments on what I've learned in the media, not from anything I've done or learned via work. Because, I mean, why would he know anything?
I think he's full of Schnitt, quite honestly.
Hey! You waited so long.
Oh, I was holding that in.
Yeah.
Okay. These are the words that came out of his mouth. Like, that's what Skylar, the love of his life, recorded.
Yeah, I watched the video.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
I have missed that. You know, I there's the they're not that bright version of things, but there's also they are so brazen.
Yeah.
That they just feel nobody can touch them, right? And so I have no doubt. What's his first name?
Schnitt's Joseph. First
name? Joseph. I have no doubt that JoJo thought, if I flex my position, if I, you know, this is what I do, I'm going to get some from Skylar. So I have no doubt that, you know, Skylar used her ways. And he just like
womanly wiles. Right?
Just a little, little touch here and there. And he like dumped out all this information. Like,
it seems pretty evident. And of course, you know, we have to say allegedly, and we don't really know for sure, but it seems pretty evident that he was not just saying, you know, I was reading the Washington Post the other day.
Right. Yeah. I was watching Fox News.
He's trying to, exactly as you said, he's trying to impress this date.
Yeah.
And he's doing so by divulging as much as he possibly can to point and trying to impress her. Which leads me back to my theory that I don't think people properly realize that we're not dealing with the brightest people in the world. I think that I think when people do dumb stuff, you think there must be a reason. This is too dumb. There must be a reason they're doing this. You start to second guess yourself. This is too dumb. There must be a reason that they're acting like this, because there's no way someone in their position would be acting like this. When in fact, one of the reasons could be they're not very bright.
Or they're just, and they're arrogant. Like, that's a bad combination.
I think they go, I think it goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
I think that arrogance leads to not thinking clearly and to making stupid mistakes.
So, and like from what I've seen, there's people on both sides, whether you're Republican or Democrat, that are not happy, right?
Sure.
With the administration.
Yeah, Marjorie Taylor Greene stood up with the Epstein survivors.
Never in my life, never in my life did I think that I would ever agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene.
I know.
But like...
Wow, I made your camera cut out. That's... There we go.
I was so appalled by you saying Marjorie Taylor Greene and I just, yeah.
As a joint in the same sentence.
Everything even imploded. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Anyway, to sort of get around to it as well at the end here, Mark Carney's a central banker. His world is numbers, forecasts, sober reports written by people who use words like multipolarity. So now suddenly he's dealing with people who think a second American Revolution will be, quote, bloodless if the left allows it. It's like putting NASA engineer in charge of a daycare when the kids keep trying to eat Play-Doh. Yes, he's technically in charge, but he's also deeply confused about why everyone's sticky. But maybe Carney invited Roberts because he thought he could learn something. Maybe he still thinks engaging with people like Schnitt is useful. But the truth might be simpler. Carney is just realizing that a big part of modern politics is managing people who are very loud, very confident, and very dumb. And I stand by that. I think that's one of the things we've overlooked entirely. I think it's like my parents should have realized when I was telling them that I took the car out all week and had girls over and ate snails cooked in cologne and had the dog at the dining table. They should have said, he's an idiot. We know that based on previous experience. So he's probably just telling us the truth right now, and we should somehow discipline him, ground him or something.
Completely as an aside, I need to know why you decided to cook snails in cologne.
I think it's because we had one of our friends had prior experience with setting cologne on fire, and it made a cool blue flame. And you could put it on, you could pour it all over your hand. Don't do this at home. You could pour it all over your hands and then set your hand on fire, and it would burn off the cologne. The fire would go out right away. You wouldn't get burned, but you'd have a hand of flame.
I don't understand how boys make it to adulthood. I really don't.
Well, a lot of them don't.
A lot of them don't, I guess. Was it Dracar Noir? What was it? What was the cologne?
High karate.
Oh, nice. That's highly flammable.
And we bought at Woolco at the $1.44 day.
Woolco. I miss Woolco. Anyway.
Daylight special.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's my theory, and I'm standing behind it, is that the majority of people, like you're even in the U.S., you've got your Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumers and stuff, and they keep thinking, well, they can't be this dumb, really? They must be planning. I've got to try to be smarter than them. In that effort, as you're saying, like the Canadian government should be one step ahead.
Yeah.
But it's hard when you're dealing with idiots.
But he's seen Poilievre, right? Like, talk about loud and dumb.
Bob will be so upset that we're talking about Paul Anthony again.
I know. Sorry, Bob. But like we have the mini versions, right? Like we have the conservative arrogance, the all the stuff. So in how you deal with like a Poiliev, just ignore him, I guess. Like, can't we apply that to what's happening in the US? And again, we have reference material that tells us what they're doing. I don't know.
I mean, there's no need to get the guy to come up and explain his book. Just get the book. Just read the book. Project 2025.
And doesn't he have advisors? Like, aren't there people that like have done this before that can be like, sir, I don't know that that's the way we want to go. But again, maybe there's some secret rationale that you and I can't wrap our heads around.
Because... But I think that's there. I just don't think there is.
I'm kidding.
Okay, good.
Like, no, it's dumb.
Yeah, it's frustrating to me because, again, I think that to myself that it's evident what's happening, what the plans are, what they're doing. And it's evident that we cannot negotiate, as you said, negotiate with the current U.S. administration. Even though I know it's important that we try to. I understand that it's important we try to because there's a lot of people's livelihoods and families and homes on the line. So we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can. However, we've got to try to be a bit better at it, I think.
Well, and I mean, Carney's super smart. And so I'm hoping that, like, from a numbers perspective, he's figured out, like, where and why and how. But I feel like it's like inviting Putin over to be like, tell us about how you collaborate with people. Like, we see how you collaborate with people. You don't. So why are you bringing this dodo head?
Yeah. Who
clearly has a big impact. Even though Trump said he'd never heard of Project 2025.
Oh, God.
Right? Just a big old liar. They're just all liars.
It's maddening.
It is what is directing this government. And that's what's scary is that, like, whether these are Trump's ideas, whether this is, like, behind the scenes, it's outlined what they're doing. And it's telling us what they've accomplished. And these are not great things that they've accomplished. Like, none of this helps people. It's scary. It's to push that whole, you know, nuclear. Do we call it nuclear family anymore? But it's that whole, like, man, woman, have lots of kids. You know, like, it's so weird. Yeah.
Of course, some of their controversial proposals include firing thousands of civil servants, replacing them with loyalists, they've done and doing. Abolishing the U.S. Department of Education, done. Removing the abortion pill from the market, plan B. Mm-hmm. Declaring married men and women the ideal natural family structure. I mean, you're not negotiating with that.
No.
It's like negotiating with someone who's just come out of church and saying, listen, let's talk about how the fact that God doesn't exist. Let's talk about that. It's not working.
One of the things that they completed July 3rd is restrict the low-income heat and energy assistance program. So you basically want to freeze out or cook low-income people. Mm-hmm. Like, this is unlike anything we've seen before. Like, I know we compare it to, like, things of the past and, you know, we need to remember the past to help the future. But this kind of shit is beyond excessive and it's scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think, you know, understanding our, oppositions is fine, but there is no reason, there is no real rationale besides we said so to the things that they're doing. And if it's like they want to be the complete, you know, world overlord and whatever it is that they're looking at doing, then we need to start looking inward to be like, okay, how do we protect ourselves? It's fine if we want to be amicable. It's like having a neighbor, right, that always, like, cuts the lawn at 6 a.m. Like, at some point, we're not going to be friends, and that's okay. We exactly. just need to, you know.
You're not going to stop them. It's time to get better windows.
Exactly, yeah. Right? Like, I think we can get a bullhorn and start yelling at him. I don't know, but.
So what do we think is the best tactic for the Canadian government to deal with the U.S.? I mean, if we give the benefit of the doubt, and I think we've proven that it's not worthy of it, that the idea was to try to figure out how the machine works, how the Trump machine works, and the Project 2025 machine works, and how we can maybe work within that to be to our mutual benefit, at least to Canada's benefit. Knowing that there's no way, I don't think, to work with the current administration, as it proven by Mexico, I think, and Sheinbaum just basically saying, no, we're not dancing.
Yeah.
We're not dancing. Because there's no point. There's really no point. What do we think is the best way for Canada to deal with it then? Is it the best way? I mean, I think that any inaction would be seen as a slight, as a hostile action. Now, do we have any ideas?
Well, I think the Canadian government needs to continuously maintain the support of Canadians. And so we need to know what's going on, right? Like, if you want us to, and I think by nature, a lot of people would, but like, if you don't want us to buy American products and you don't want us to travel to the US and we shouldn't be supporting, you know, American anything financially, you got to give people a reason to keep doing that. Cause a lot of times the American stuff is cheap, right?
Yeah.
And so people are going to like gravitate to it. And you know, over the course of the last 6 months, like I've people will say, oh, you know, I'm going to Vegas, and I'm like, why? Right. But like at some point people are going to let that down and be like, I want to go back to having fun and I don't care.
Yeah, everyone's got limited time.
Of course. And so I think we need to keep refreshing that button with Canadians as to, hey, this is what we're doing. And you don't have to give us all the details, and I get it, but we need to feel like there's something moving on the horizon that is going to be positive for Canada. And whatever little, you know, chess game or Lego game you're playing, figure that shit out. But like, don't be inviting these people into our country, right? Like, many of us didn't want Trump coming for the, 18 hours or 12 hours that he was here, because that's like an affront to all of us who are now being impacted potentially by his decisions. So don't invite these people into our country. There's lots of other people around the world that I'm sure are experts in a lot of areas. You can invite them. But I think Canadians need to feel like the government and Carney are actually taking steps. I think we're tired of hearing it's part of a bigger process, and we get it. We get that it's a big process. Nobody thinks this is easy. But we need to see some wins. And I don't know that we're seeing any wins right now.
I agree. I think that's good advice. And I think it's because it does eventually become it's just as bad as Trump's. In 2 weeks, we're going to have 2 weeks of the best healthcare program. In 2 weeks, we're going to have this. We can't go into the details right now. And we find out there are no details to get into. So it's kind of like the same idea of saying, you know, it's part of a bigger plan. And you're starting to think, I don't know if we have a plan.
It's like the tariff threats. It's 12%. It's 18.5%. It's 150%. Like, you know, and then it just keeps getting bumped.
Yeah.
And so everyone goes, and then it's like, okay, we can breathe. And I feel like a lot of Canadians are like still at the phase, and we want to see something to let us breathe. Like, I think everybody wants to take a little gasp of air every once in a while.
Agreed. I'm going to do an ad read here before we finish up.
Oh, good.
Before we wrap up, a reminder, payroll is the thing keeping this whole dreaming big business alive. From your very first paycheck to lifelong security, there's always a payroll pro making it happen, and they deserve some love. National Payroll Week is September 15th to 19th, and the National Payroll Institute wants your stories. Maybe it was a first job, a leave you planned for, or just that one Friday you weren't living on borrowed coffee and good intentions. Post your story with hashtag PowerPayroll and hashtag contest, tag National Payroll Institute, and you could win a $250 prepaid credit card. Plus, every post sends $1 to Food Banks Canada, up to $25,000. So share your payroll story, because getting paid matters. Without it, this podcast would just be called Politics is Not Happening. And none of us want that. So that's the state of play, Lisa. Canada is trying to prep for Trump 2.0 by inviting the architect of an authoritarian playbook who cancels. Meanwhile, the Department of Justice officials in the U.S. are getting catfished into monologues about Epstein. And somewhere in Ottawa, Mark Carney is quietly asking himself, wait, this is who run things?
Why did I sign up for this?
I know. Stick around, of course, for future episodes, because the next time we're going to see if there's anything dumber than abolishing the Department of Education. And of course, the spoiler, yes, there is.
We'll see who else does so on a Hinge date next week or so.
So let's, I think the takeaway for listeners this week is that if you're on a Hinge date and you work for an important government department, maybe just, you know, pick some other stuff to brag about.
Tell the person you're like a painter or in construction, right?
Like, you never skip leg day or something like that.
Don't divulge too much.
Yeah. Keep national secrets to yourself.
But way to go, Skylar. Bravo.
You know, again, I don't even think that was her real name. I'm shocked. I, for one, am shocked.
I feel like I was played. Yeah, you were.
Listen, you guys, if you leave comments or questions underneath the episodes, we'll go back and read them at the beginning of the next episode and maybe even answer some of them.
Ooh.
That'd be good. And I apologize to whoever was it said?
Bob.
Pat H.
Oh, Pat H.
Pat H, who said he didn't want to listen to a podcast with Lisa and Doug Ford. So,
can you imagine if it was Lisa and Doug Ford?
It would do well. I think the downloads Hello, would be folks. Off the chart.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, say friends, I'm just here with Lisa.
There's a bee in my mouth.
Thanks for watching and or listening, everyone. Remember, you can find us at brittlestar.com or your favorite podcasting platform. Take care of yourselves. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Politics is Broken with Brittle Star and Lisa B. The audio version of this podcast is produced by Owen Reynolds for the Podcast is Broken Network. Remember to like, follow, subscribe, and comment. And don't forget to check out RiddleStar.com for more.